Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Seffi and Wing here for another episode of Goes Without Saying. Lucky you that you found this podcast episode. I hope you enjoy it if it's your first time here. And if it's not your first time here, wow, you returned. I really hope you enjoy it. This is a bit of a bizarre episode covering all things end of year, taking stock of life, authenticity, how to live your best life in 2021. And is that even possible? Who knows? I guess we'll just have to wait and see you there. Okay, I feel quite sick, actually.
Yeah, same.
I feel nervous. I wanted to start by saying that I am literally crying my eyes out at all the messages.
Yeah.
Everyone's feeling crazy at the end of the year, right?
Everyone has had whole years and whole lives filled with shit and good things, and it's just so stunning.
Yeah, it's been a whole year. Two messages, what I love in particular is when two different people from like completely different countries miles apart send in a really similar or like complimentary sentiment at the same time on the question box on the story. So,
and they sit right next to each other.
Yeah, and I thought that's quite beautiful. So one person said that they are scared of the future because they're scared that they're going to be behind due to COVID. Somebody else said they're scared because they're running out of time to do all the things that they want to do. I just wanted to talk about this because we have this conversation quite a lot off of the podcast, don't we, Seffi?
Yeah.
Because I often will be like, I just can't imagine what our lives would have been without this pandemic and blah, blah, blah.
Our joint
life. The
things
that we'd be doing, yeah, in our joint life. I think I almost take like a bit of like a sadistic pleasure in wondering what my life would be without this. But as we keep saying, I mean, I said to you yesterday, it's a redundant thought to imagine what I would have done in the September of 2020 without a pandemic because I don't live there.
In a parallel universe where COVID didn't exist.
Absolutely. That's not the reality I'm dealt with. And I kind of think we can have a bit of a good convo on the idea of running out of time because what a bizarre concept. Whose time are you running against? Whoa. I'm gonna have to have some cold tea. God, it's really like there are demons in my throat, like don't speak.
They're like, this is the last one of the year, right? You need to shut up.
Yeah, it's kind of Dobby. You will not return to Hogwarts this year.
He's closed the barrier. There's something about the idea of running out of time which feels really specific to women as well, because there's the idea of like your biological clock is ticking.
This is another one that I wanted to talk about.
I think they all feed in. The idea that we're fucked. If you're in your 20s and COVID hit, you're fucked because these were crucial years for you to sort of procreate.
Find a mate.
It's like, whose narrative are you buying into here?
You were supposed to be chosen by now.
Yeah, you were supposed to be chosen. You were supposed to be meeting. Sorry, I'm just taking my earrings out when I can hear that. They're really annoying and jangly.
We're kind of not with it today, I feel.
I think it's good because this is an informal ep.
Yeah.
It's the last ep of the year.
Well, we've just had like an hour conversation and kind of got ourselves into a bit of a state. Kind of had a really lovely conversation about how much we've grown and blah, blah, blah. But now I'm feeling quite like I've got a microscope on me.
Yeah, it's suddenly like...
I've done a bit too much navel gazing, I think, and now I'm feeling quite existential.
The navel gazing thing is an issue because, I mean...
You cause problems that aren't there. Yeah, yeah.
We go in too deep. But we basically, yeah, okay, we're feeling quite dreamy. But I think it's quite a dreamy time. Dreamy. Saturn-Jupiter conjunction was yesterday. Was it Saturn and Jupiter? I don't know.
Yeah, it was.
Something and Jupiter conjunct.
Yeah, they did.
And we're feeling dreamed.
Do you feel like you're running out of time?
Does anyone? Well, I know you all have it. My number one rule in life, I have two rules in life. One, don't fantasize about people you know. I break that on the daily. And two, don't solve your problems at night. I break that on the nightly. So I just am in a rotation of breaking my own rules endlessly. And I woke up at about 4 a.m. in the middle of the night and I was like, I'm running out of time. My birthday's in a few days, 27th of December. I'm going to be 24. What have I done? Who am I? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you were feeling quite agey all of a sudden.
I suddenly was very aware of my age. And I remember saying to you, I've never been worried about age before. And you're like, yeah, it's because you're 23.
It's like, yeah, because you were turning 21. Like, obviously you weren't worried about age. But I do also think it's a thing. People I've seen, and I used to be that annoying person, no offense, but I do find it annoying to be like, oh my God, I'm turning 18. That's just so old. Like, I feel like I'm 14.
Pathetic.
And it's like, can we all just grow up?
Literally.
Can we just get out of this thing? Yeah, exactly. Like, these aren't your fears. They're somebody else's fears put on you and you're just replicating them because it's like a cutesy thing to say.
And because of the paedophile culture, we've been through it in the last episode. Of course we prioritise youth. My mum always says, because she's got quite a good attitude to ageing, she's like, well, the alternative is I'd be dead. So I can either turn 52, 53, or I can die.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'll turn 54, 55.
What a blessing to be turning an age that so many people don't. It's like, yeah, I'm just grateful for more time.
People don't reach it.
Like, even though I'm having a shit time sometimes, yeah, I'd still like to have some more of it and fuck about it for a bit longer.
Totally. And also, we've spoken before about that old woman that we saw, that woman we saw with the grey hair in the shop, in the vegan cafe that time.
Mother Nature, as I call her in hindsight.
Mother Nature, the goddess of the world, the queen.
Yeah.
She was the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And she was probably in her 50s, 60s. And she was prettier than anyone I've ever seen in my life.
It was basically, I don't know when we said this story, but I mean, it's not really much of a story. We just went for lunch one day and sat next to us. Unbeknownst to her was the most beautiful woman in the world. And we were just kind of staring at her the whole time. I can't believe I used to see you in public, in person, by the way.
I know, that feels like a long time ago.
Which feels really weird, but yeah,
we're just sort of virtual pen pals these days.
Yeah, exactly. But this is why it's easy to get yourself in a rut of like, but what would I be doing? It's easy to open up that dream world of what that universe would look like if COVID didn't exist, for example,
and kind of all the things you would have done. But it's actually, there's no proof to say you would have done any of these things. Oh, but I would have this by now, I'd be this by now, and blah blah blah, blah. It's like, actually, scrap that, that's fiction. You're writing stories, you're writing short stories for yourself. Cut it.
Yeah,
scrap it.
Well, it's like, let's not weaponize a parallel universe that we're not even sure exists
against ourselves.
Let's not use that as a tool,
a stick
against
to beat
ourselves
with.
A stick to beat us with. Yeah, exactly,
a fictional stick to beat our poor little selves with, when actually we've just been through a pandemic and we're like, but I'd probably be prettier if I hadn't been in a pandemic. Like, yeah, we all probably would.
Yeah.
We all probably would be thriving, but let's cut it. Also, probably not.
I was going to say, I saw someone recently talk about, I'm not going to name them, but like a big influencer who has a lot of money, quote unquote. And they were like, oh, if I had his money, I would be doing this and this and this and this and this. I would have a chef and I'd be going to the gym every day. It's like, would you? Would you be going to the gym every day? Because you have a gym membership right now and you've got a free hour after work and yet here you are, you're not going. So let's not romanticize and weaponize the fictional version of ourselves that lives in a parallel universe that we will never access. So how do we get ourselves out of this feeling like we're running out of time? I think a lot of it is to do with the fact that, unfortunately, even though everyone in their private life or internally feels as though they're running out of time and blah, 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 and nothing's getting done and blah, 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 publicly and like in our external, we are performing, all of us, in this show that makes it look like we're all doing so much. And
we're all thriving.
We're thriving.
We've said it time and time again, and many people have said it before us, and it's an old narrative. Social media is fake. We've been hearing this for the last like 10 years. Social media is fake. Of course everyone looks like they're thriving, but it's so common that then you sit down with your friend that you've been looking at on social media or whatever, and then you have this conversation, you're like, yeah, we've both been going through shit right now.
Yeah, and it's just a really weird symptom of the whole, like, because I've always hated the you're not alone narrative. I've always hated that as like a soundbite.
Yeah.
You're not alone. Like, I've always felt like, okay, no matter what's going on in my life, that really doesn't make me feel better.
Also, I don't take any comfort in that, because it's like, I am and so are you. I just think, so are you and so are you and so are you. We all are. Like, don't delude yourself.
Yeah. The social media thing is just another symptom of that, where it's like, as we spoke about in previous episodes, when people say, how are you? And you just say, I'm fine. How are you? Yeah, fine. But it's like, we're all participating. We're all perpetuating the cycle that is keeping us in misery. because we are so desperate to believe that we are the only people struggling with something.
Well, it's convenient, isn't it? It's convenient to think all the world's problems are on my back. Everyone else is just living their own lives. It's all going so well for them. And then you can kind of live in your misery a little bit, which is at times quite a nice place to live. It's quite nice to live in like the comfort of like almost like being a bit dissatisfied with everything.
We all want to comment on, oh, everyone's just miserable in private. Everyone's miserable in private. But it's like, I'm not ready to be miserable in public. Absolutely not.
No.
Do you know what I mean? So I can comment on and say, oh, social media, as if from an outside perspective, is completely fake, blah, blah, blah. But it's like, yeah, I'm upholding that more than I was a year ago.
Absolutely.
I'm not only upholding that on my personal experience of social media, but I'm here on my little podcast and on my little Instagram making everyone feel bad about themselves. Oops.
Well, do you remember when we first started this, or not even when we first started this, when it started to get a bit of attention, let's say,
when it wasn't just like literally you listening to it back and nobody else?
Literally.
You were our only listener for about 4 months.
For years, just to check I'd said no names involved, because we had a scare the other day.
Oh god,
when we beeped some names the other day,
I was reeling off names from Seffi's past and she left them all in.
This was the most horrific moment of my life. I was about to fucking upload the episode and I was like, let's just go to a random point in the episode, just check fucking nothing, just listen to a random point. And I literally said the name, and I was like, you idiot.
Even more embarrassing that I'm saying it, because it's like, they, you think they're important enough that you've told me about them and I don't know these people and I'm saying their name.
Yeah, Erin didn't go to my school and they're important enough from my school that I haven't spoken to in about 10 years that I'm now speaking about on a podcast, and Erin knows. It was mortifying. So I then had to like torture myself, go through that entire episode that I just spent about fucking 6 hours editing.
And scour it.
Start from the beginning and just listen to it. So now I'm saying no to names because that was absolutely a close shave.
Yeah, when we started getting a few listeners.
Yeah, there were definitely people that would sort of try and push a kind of agenda of like authenticity onto us, of you should be more authentic online, because they kind of associate the facade, the natural facade of social media and potentially wearing makeup, being in a bit of an outfit and not you sitting in your pajamas kind of crying into a bowl of cereal, they associate that with authenticity.
Well, almost as if, well, Seffi, I know you and I know that only your misery is real, your happiness and your beauty is not something that's real to be celebrated in public.
As if reality only exists in the negative and anything positive is therefore artificial and fake. It's just such a weird narrative. And there were definitely people in my life that tried to push an agenda of like, be ugly on the internet and therefore you're real, be ugly on the internet, stop crying on the internet, there you go.
Mm-hmm. What you're saying will be more valuable if you don't look good while you're saying it. It reminds me of, we went to an event which was great before COVID, and Megan Barton Hanson was speaking.
This was one of the most stunning days of our life, by the way.
Yeah, it was really good. This is why it's hard not to think about like the
pre-COVID life.
Exactly. A little bit of insight for you guys, fun fact, any Megan Barton Hanson fans out there. So Megan Barton Hanson was on Love Island, if you don't know, and she, I mean, I find it obscure situation where you wouldn't know who we are. You found yourself listening to this and you don't know who Megan Barton Hanson is, but she was on Love Island. She used to work in a strip club, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And was like a performer. And now, then she went on Love Island and she had like plastic surgery and things like that. And lots of different ways that she was villainized. I mean, I'm sure she's not a saint, but it still stands true. There were lots of different ways that she was villainized. And she said that, you know, her use of social media massively affects like her mental health and things like that. Like she gets attacked on the daily by all ages, all genders, etc. And she said, like, you know, so I'm going to be open about the fact that I would edit and Photoshop my pictures. I'll tell you that I have. I'll still do it. But like, yeah, like, of course I edit my pictures because I have like a million people looking at me. And then a man in the audience put his hand up and said, okay, but my daughters, for example, might one day look at your social media page and think, oh, well, I need to look like this, I need to do that, blah, blah, blah. So wouldn't it be more revolutionary or better if you weren't just transparent by doing it? Why don't you just stop editing your pictures? Which is, a sentiment that I'm sure we all at one point would have taken on as our own. However, I think most of us would think that that lacks the nuance to understand that if you were in a position with a million eyes on you alongside living your own life with your own struggles, etc., etc., that just, to be honest, goes without saying.
Nice.
Are you ready to give up any security blanket you have when you're already in a position that is so terrifying and so demanding? I don't think so.
Exactly.
And also, does she owe a response to a man in an audience? I would say not, but there we go.
Yeah. It's a lot to demand authenticity from a position that you will never and have never experienced. I think a lot of people, there's kind of like a weird authenticity agenda that it's like, I really want everyone to be real, real, real. But it's like that, but you're operating in a space that prioritizes artifice, like fakeness. You're not operating having real conversations. I think this podcast is so authentic for the fucking internet.
We are authentic within this space. But I agree, people have a different perception on what authentic is. Like, you have to look ugly, otherwise it's not authentic.
Otherwise it's fake. It's the most bizarre thing. I think that's one of the things I've learned from this entire year of doing this, is it will never be good enough for all the eyes that are watching you. One set of eyes will want this one thing. Mm. Someone said, so it's like, no, actually, you've just got to do what you want to do, and hopefully people resonate. But you can't be performing.
Especially as you're a woman.
Exactly. But to perform realness is inherently fake. It's just bizarre to be like, okay, so I've got to make an effort to be more real. It's like, well, then it's, you've just discounted the whole thing. It's bizarre.
Yeah, completely.
One that I loved, this is kind of a two-parter. They said, ditched my shitty grad program, got on antidepressants, moved to a new city, still an ever-evolving mess, but that's okay. Sparkle, sparkle, sparkle emojis.
Sparkle vibes. Yes, so true.
Honestly, you're sparkling. That is so beautiful. I love it. So much growth.
Yeah, so stunning. So what's she done?
But this is what I love about this, is that your success has taken, I think most people this year, like the wins in your life have taken shape in a way that you never would have perceived, i.e. going on antidepressants is something that a few years ago may not have societally been viewed as a success, but now it's like, fuck off, that is so successful.
Yeah. I saw a message that they said, I caved and got on antidepressants and now I'm not depressed, best cave ever. And it's like, yeah, cave ever. Like,
fuck this world that tells you that you're not allowed to be happy.
Yeah, there's only one way to look.
It's kind of be natural. And miserable, please.
Yeah, there's only one prescribed way to be happy.
And it's just do yoga in the morning and be thin and don't really eat whole foods and fuck your boyfriend, suck his dick.
Yeah.
That's how you be happy.
Yeah. So what have they done?
So let's go through them one by one.
Yeah.
She ditched her shitty grad program. We love to see it.
Okay, I love the sound of that. Also, I love that they said, I ditched my shitty grad program. In reality, it was probably cancelled because of COVID. And they were crying about it. They were like, I fucking wanted this grad program so bad.
But what a beautiful sentiment. You came out of uni thinking, with your little ego, your little bags packed, thinking, I'm going to do my grad program. And then you think, fuck it.
Yeah.
This world is fucked. This isn't bringing me happiness. This isn't bringing me joy.
Really brave to ditch that.
So brave.
We were saying, again, we say all of our best bits. You guys should turn up earlier. I don't know why we say all of our good things before you're here.
The warm-up act is quite a lot better than the main performance, actually.
Yeah. We were saying before we started recording about how we spoke about months ago, you either choose like fun and a laugh and maybe real happiness and anxiety, or you choose stability and security.
And boredom. So your options in life are fun and anxiety, or stability and boredom. Take your pick.
And I think that is the case for a lot of people. If you feel like you've been prescribing to ideas or goals or achievements that weren't really yours, and you were just told that that is the idea of what you would be as successful, when from a young age you kind of thought, oh yeah, I'll just go to uni and then I'll do a postgrad.
Of course I will, yeah.
And blah 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 blah. Yeah, people in our generation or people who are around the same age to us are coming out of the other end of the times of prescription, in the sense that if you've been in education, you've been indoctrinated into an ideology from, you can't remember otherwise. So this is your first experience of, no wonder you feel like you're running out of time, because you're looking around at where your peers would be and there's suddenly only a handful of them and they're all doing either something that you think is really similar, they're all doing the same thing but you don't want to do it, or they're all doing completely different things and you don't know where you fit into that. And that feels so scary because you've never been faced with it. It's not actually a scary time to be in. It's only because you've only ever known looking around a room full of peers and you've all been in a similar ship.
When you meet someone that is very attached to a goal, for example, they've got their sights set on being a vet.
I was thinking vet too.
Well, it just kind of is the most vague thing that I don't really know anyone that wants to be that, so it's like no one can get offended.
I feel like growing up, all I knew were girls that wanted to be vets.
It's that all kind of... Wait, what did you want to be when you grew up, when you were like a kid?
Well, funny you should say that, because...
Big old vet.
I'd never wanted to be anything.
Oh, really?
No. And I used to think, I wish I was just a girl who wanted to be a vet. Quite Gatsby. I wish I was a beautiful little fool. Not that there's any problem, obviously, with being a vet whatsoever. When I was younger, I used to really wish that I could just be someone who would just like pick a clear vocation,
yeah,
and follow my life through clean and easy. But I just think, of course I was 5 years old and I didn't know what I wanted to do, because...
Why are you ingrained with capitalism?
What I'm doing didn't exist. Exactly, yeah. And yeah, I do not dream of labour. I don't have a dream job. I don't dream of labour. But it's almost like I actually am glad that as a child, I didn't prescribe to something that made adults happy.
Yeah.
Because it's meant that I'm like difficult as an adult. Like I've been so lost. But it's so much more rewarding to do something that I know I enjoy and to really push for it and fight for it than to just kind of give in to what I felt like was expected. What about you? What did you want to do when you were little? Be a vet?
No. Straight up actress from day one. Think of the Doctor Who note. I was pushing to... I wanted an agent so badly when I was younger. Like, I was so convinced.
I wanted to be on Disney Channel. Did you?
I more wanted to be on Tracy Beaker.
And now I'm like, thank God I wasn't on Disney Channel. What about like Hannah Montana?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely wanted... I formed a band with my friends that we all wore wigs. We were called the Iceberries.
Ooh, I love it.
Have you not heard this?
No, what friends? Give me their name and I'll announce it and you won't edit it out.
Nope. It was, if you're listening, hey, but it was me and my sister and our two friends when we were younger. We had a band. This is actually hilarious if you're listening. We started a band when we were younger. We'd clearly watched Hannah Montana. We all bought wigs and we were called the Iceberries and we recorded four songs. One was called I Hate You and it went, I hate you, I hate you. And it would go like that.
Oh, wow.
And my name, my Hannah Montana name, was Zinnia White.
Why do I feel like that's something you would come up with tomorrow? Like, you literally, that's the same you.
Yeah, no, completely I would come up with that now, Zinnia White.
Yeah.
Zinnia White I thought was the most stunning thing I've ever heard. And I had a big black wig and we did a concert. So, yes, I did want to be on Hannah Montana as a short answer to your question.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, thanks.
But yeah, straight up actress, just actress, actress, actress. But I think what I was really getting at as a kid was that I liked sort of fiction. I think that's basically what I was getting at. I liked Tracy Beaker for some reason that I couldn't explain. And I thought, okay, so you just go straight to Danny Harmer, Justine Littlewood, blah, blah, blah. You go straight to them. But actually, it's like, no, what you actually like is the fact that they're playing characters that were written and all of... I think actually it's like, no, you liked the behind the scenes, but as a five-year-old, you can't access the behind the scenes. So you go to the surface level. That's my theory anyway.
I don't know if you wanted to say this on the pod, but you've had an interesting epiphany with ego this year.
Oh my... Well, this was like 2 weeks ago.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
And that really goes in.
Yeah, okay.
And don't you think that completely fits into your childhood dream?
I'll say the epiphany. The epiphany. One of my many epiphanies.
Maybe a bit of context.
Okay, so the first bit of context is that I listen to The Ricky Gervais Show with Ricky Gervais, Stephen Merchant and Carl Pilkington every night of my life, and probably have done since I was about 14, 15 years old. And I literally listen to old things. I know them off by heart. They're kind of like, as I'm going to sleep, I just listen to them. They're like my loves. They're my kings.
It's them kind of dying of laughter, like kind of jumping around the room, like bouncing off the walls, being insane.
And I can't get enough. Honestly, when I first found this, when I was like, maybe 13 even, I remember where I was when I heard it, and I just thought, what the fuck is this? This is perfect. This is hysterical. I need to know everything about them. And I'm still obsessed with them, like literally 10 years later, and I've never had a dip in my love for them, really, which is quite mad. They probably mean the most to me out of any celebs, which is hilarious.
Yeah, all right. I said a little bit of context.
Also, it's like so, they're so problematic. It's like, it's not like, okay, so I love Gina Martin. It's like, no, I love Ricky Gervais.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, God, it's not who you want to admit. Because also, I disagree with so much that he says.
Well, I think he's quite known for being hot.
Hot?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I disagree. Although I don't.
Okay.
I don't as well. But my big epiphany was, so I have always thought, okay, so Ricky's obviously really successful. Stephen Merchant is his co-writer of The Office extras. They work together, and he is less famous. And I've always perceived it as, oh, he's less successful. I almost feel a bit bad for Steve. I almost feel like, oh, God, it didn't go as planned.
That's awkward.
I had this huge epiphany because I was like to my sister, random, which one would you rather be, Ricky, Steve, or Carl? And she said, Steve. I'd rather be Steve, obviously, yeah. Because he doesn't have the ego of Ricky, and he doesn't have to do any of that press, but he gets to write all the stuff and he gets to be behind the scenes. And I was like, you're so fucking right. And I had this big moment where I realized, you've been going for the surface level. Your pinnacle of success is the person that's hosting the Golden Globes, just the person that is present the most. No,
the figurehead of glory, a true Slytherin.
You're going for the Mockingjay. Don't go for the Mockingjay, go for the people behind it. Go for Hamish. Mm-hmm. Do not do that, you imbecile.
Well, it's stunning. I think this year has been massive for people's egos.
I just think looking at the old signifiers of success, or to be honest, current signifiers of success, which are money, fame,
glory,
just like wealth, basically, glory, Slytherin vibes. I think this year has really reshaped kind of, you've got to get her, she's got to get her priorities straight, or whatever that quote is.
I was thinking of Wicked after they say about like the Triwizard Cup. And I thought, that's literally alienate anyone who listens. Just leave it.
That's rubbish.
Yeah, that's rubbish. You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, that's rubbish. I love when they're like, crumb.
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 Crumb. Crumb.
Like, Victor, I love you.
Victor, I do. When we're apart, my heartbeat's only for you. Okay.
Yeah. If you look at the old signifiers of success.
So 2020, hey?
This year has realigned everyone's priorities of like, no, it's actually health, safety, my family. My priorities are very, very much based in the domestic sphere now. I've kind of returned to the 1930s.
Yeah, I agree. But then I also think it's annoying that, I was saying yesterday again off the pod.
Fuck, we need to just record everything and then do the best of the week.
I know, everything
best
we
of the
say.
Week roundup.
Yeah,
is
literally.
Everything we said.
Yeah, best of Seffy and Wing. I was saying just yesterday that I was nostalgic for like the April quarantine.
Yeah, Tiger King, banana bread vibes.
In a local way, obviously, I'm not nostalgic for like global pandemic vibes, because I'm really happy to see lots of other countries and lots of other people move on from COVID safely. But in the way that in April, if I went on Instagram, I was confronted with even the most glamorous people telling me to stay home. And the novelty and the romantic aspect of struggling through a pandemic, which I think is important to romanticize your life in whatever shape it takes, obviously, at least in a private sense, at least in your own mind, be intentional with the way that you are not only navigating your wins, but also like struggling with your deepest and darkest struggles. But I think the problem is that, yeah, like we've all gone back to this private domestic sphere, but I actually think we had in April, but now it's become more sophisticated in the shape that it's taken, and actually the facade is still very much there. It's almost like, well, do quarantine the best you've ever done quarantine, be productive in the best productivity you've ever been productive before, like everyone else's quarantine looks better than yours. Whereas before, and obviously this is a really binary and like reductive way of looking at it, but I think when this is all very new, stay at home and return to the domestic sphere, it was quite like everyone was finding a new way of dealing with things.
I love how everyone that said that kind of thought they were the first one to say it. It's like, no, you've heard that about a million times, that's why you're saying it.
Whereas now I just think the lies have become more sophisticated, so and no one's telling you to like, it's just not cute anymore. It's now it's like, oh, everyone's looking back, it's like, shit, they kind of wrote a book and two albums in that quarantine, and I have just been working from home every day from 9 to 5. Do you know what I mean? So I think it just becomes more sinister, the roots, the patterns, the behavior, the ways that we find a way to compare ourselves to others will just become more sophisticated as things are stripped away.
Because also you're confronted with the reality of, you could have done all of this stuff, you could have written the book, you've had all the time, but you didn't, you chose not to. And I think that's one of the most painful bits of it, of, okay, so I could have done all of these things, but I didn't. And it's like actually redefining what you actually want, because it's all, there's almost like, if you really wanted it, would you have just done it? Do you actually want that? Or is that something you've, a narrative you've held on to for years and years and years? I don't know.
Yeah, because it's the same as looking at like a celebrity and thinking, well, if I had a private chef, I'd be eating the most healthy, I'd be so skinny, I'd be doing this every day. And it's like, no, you wouldn't. You would still be going to the McDonald's drive-thru.
Yeah. Because,
and there's nothing wrong with that.
No, that sounds stunning.
But I think it's easier to get ourselves out of the misery that we have in the reality of our day-to-day. It's easier to romanticize like an alternate parallel universe version of you.
If these things had happened, then I would be this. And I think that's why people hold on to, when I'll be a size 6, I'll be this. Yeah. When I have a boyfriend, I'll do this. When I've got £1 million, I'll do this. It's like, it's very nice to be like, so the one thing stopping me from being happy is that I don't have £1 million. And it's like, it's actually not about £1 million, it's that you feel shit about a load of stuff in you and yourself.
I think you have some responsibility in there. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
And obviously there are major constraints put on us in the shape of class, gender, race, ability, all of those things. And I also think, don't look down on people and assume that if you were in their position you'd be doing things differently, because I guess we'll never know.
I guess we'll never know. We had so many messages of people saying they came out as lesbians, or came out as bi, came out as gay. We have
the floss effect. No, I'm joking.
Okay. Funny, isn't it? The second the male gaze is kind of taken back a tiny bit, there's kind of a cohort of women realizing that they're gay. I just think it's really interesting, especially with like the rise of TikTok and all of this stuff during lockdown and during 2020, I guess. The access to information and kind of other people's lives, and especially like the whole narrative, like you're either on gay TikTok or you're on straight TikTok, and it's like, actually pretty much everyone is on gay TikTok, it turns out. Well, everyone in the circles I'm in, yeah, everyone is on gay TikTok.
Well, it's almost straight TikTok is Trump TikTok.
You do not want to be there.
And anything else is normal TikTok.
It's kind of, I guess it's Addison Rae. I don't really know what's going on in straight TikTok. It's kind of the hype house.
Yeah.
Bryce.
Yeah.
Don't know who these people are. Just names I've heard. But yeah, I think that there's something really amazing about the amount of people that have kind of realized that heteronormative ideals are not serving them. And it's like, actually, I don't want to. There's this trend on TikTok that I fucking love, where it's like, the audio is like, I hate wasted potential. That shit tears you apart. It really does. And then it's like, da-da, da-da, da-da. And it's like, watch me glow up, or like, watch me come out of my straight girl phase and realize I'm bi or whatever. And there are like photos of them in like, so that little audio plays, and it's a photo of them in like their kind of Abercrombie and Fitch t-shirt.
Yeah.
Like when they're like 13, and then it goes on and on, and now they're like so stunning, so hot, like so themselves and beautiful. And it's like, God, this year has been like growth. This year has been huge for like people coming out, which I obviously love.
A lot of navel gazing going on this year, I think.
No other option but to go. If you can't go outside, you might as well go inside.
Yeah, so true though, right?
Might as well go inside your own head.
So true.
Yeah, it's true.
I think people haven't been finding so much distraction.
Yeah.
Or they've been finding new ways to distract themselves. But I think a lot of people have found that in questioning themselves, because it's true. It's like if you have been spoken down to your whole life, but now suddenly you're an essential worker, it's like, oh, so you do value me, or you value me enough to sacrifice me.
You're gonna clap for me, but you're not gonna pay me. Okay,
yeah.
Fine. Yeah, it's a bizarre fucking thing.
I think it's meant that a lot of people obviously have had to evaluate their purpose in life when you think everything has been stripped from you. And also it's been a catalyst for people to live more authentically.
Well, there's no nothing that breeds like authentic. Oh god, this is the authentic episode. Authenticity, like being on your own, being isolated from everyone. You're just with kind of your family or like a few people, or on your own. And it's just like, actually, what do I want to do? And I think this is why people didn't write two albums and write a book as they thought they would at the beginning of the year with their like naive optimism, because it's like, actually, you want to watch TV. Actually, you want to find out that you're a lesbian. Mm-hmm. Fuck. Like, there's actually a lot more important things that aren't intertwined with capitalism that you want to be doing. Actually, you never got around to watching Game of Thrones and you want to finish that. There are more important things than, oh fuck, well, I've got to write my novel and I've got to do that. It's like, actually, no, fuck off.
Yeah, I completely agree. So true. Because I also think it's being taken out of society while still performing with a digital society.
Yeah.
And then one day being put back into the physical society. Again, we were saying the other day, and I've said this to so many people, like this year I feel like I've just been, every week was just trying on a new me. Did that fit for size? No, try on a different one next week. Okay, and next week I'll be someone else. And actually, I loved this message that we got. Oh, I love this so much. They said they're proud of themselves this year for being better than the sum of their phases.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I love.
So true.
Love.
Because it's all of us this year have had to go through so many different phases just to get to the other side of it.
We're adaptable, turns out.
It's like, yeah, maybe you did have that phase where you did two albums and a novel. Maybe you did. But then you also did all of these other things. And I think that just is age too. Just try on different things for size and see how it goes. But I think it's less attachment to outcome and more attachment to like authentic experience
and like the process,
the journey.
Yeah. I love that. That's so great.
Doing the work.
Did we do our work this week? We never said what we did.
Affirmation vibes, which you know we're a big fan of.
Affirmations.
Yeah, so tell me your affirmations.
My affirmation is, okay, so we said for everyone to do affirmations, self-acceptance affirmations, and I completely forgot about this, to be honest, but it turns out I've been doing them anyway. And I told you my affirmation that I made up the other day.
Yeah, can I repeat it back?
Yeah, let's see if you can. This is one that just came to me. I was going to sleep and it just was replaying and replaying in my head. It's a weird word. That's why it's stuck
in my
head. Oh,
yeah, I relinquish.
Yeah.
I don't remember what you relinquish. This is why I remember that.
You can tell it was made up in a delirious mind, but it's just stuck and it just gives me a feeling and I love it. It's, feel free to use this too. I relinquish all control and trust the timing of life.
So
that's the
stunning.
Affirmation. And I have picked those words very carefully to not say my life. I want it to be of life on this earth. And I just think it's so stunning. To me, it's like, just fucking surrender to this universe and see what happens. It doesn't mean you can't have goals and all of this stuff, but if you live authentically within yourself, just trust that something will happen. Trust that you're going in a direction, but it's also incredibly wanky, and also fuck everyone that does affirmations.
Well, affirmations kind of are. We are kind of a bit wanky, but I think that would be so useful to so many people wrote in saying that the thing that they're scared most for in their future is uncertainty.
Yeah.
I literally have seen the word uncertainty about 500 times this morning, and I normally see it like one time.
Also the idea of running out of time. It's like, I'm running out of time. It's like coming from this,
it's like, for what?
A mentality of lack and desperation of shit. I need to like gather up all the time I have and be really productive. It's like, no, I relinquish all control and trust the timing of life.
Yeah.
It's like, fucking chill out.
I love that.
I think it's one of my main problems in life that I'm inherently a control freak.
Well, it's funny, we were saying, because I think I'm really laid back and I'm like blah 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 and just like perpetually unfazed, I would have always thought I'm not a control freak. But until you realise that you are a control freak and you're like, fuck, yeah, those two things can coexist. I can be kind of really laid back in relationships in X, Y, and Z, but also be a control freak with my own state of production, for example.
I think you can easily trick, because I think people would look at me and maybe think I'm not a control freak, because it's kind of like, I don't really have external, I don't perform externally as controlling. I kind of think I would come up as a bit of a woohoo, not controlling type, not very type A, for example.
Yeah.
But actually it's kind of holding yourself to high standards that are actually unproductive in the end and all of this stuff. I think it's actually like, take a look inside and where your behaviours are actually coming from. More often than not, they're coming from a need to control and kind of orchestrate your life, like against your own goodwill.
Completely that, yeah. And it's just the preoccupation with yourself as not like a full being, but yourself as something to be perceived
and to be like built.
It's like, ultimately it's more important for you to be perceived as someone who wrote two books over quarantine than the reality of who you would be if you did that.
Exactly.
You don't really care to be the person who does that, but you want to be seen as the person who does that.
It's so fucking true.
Waste of time. Preoccupation with perception, waste of time.
Waste of fucking time. One girl did write in and say that she's just got her book published.
I saw that. Congrats.
That she wrote during quarantine just to make us all feel bad. One girl actually did get her book published. Let me find that one because it's really beautiful. I submitted a novel, I wrote to a scheme, and now it's going to be published, with like a celebration emoji.
Honestly, this calls for celebration. I'll be raising my wine glass of Pepsi Max to you tonight. That's what I've been doing.
I think we should all really take a minute now to realize how far we've come.
I'm quite liking this as a hand-holding moment. Should we hold hands with the listener?
Let's all hold hands, everyone. Let's all hold virtual hands around the globe.
I'm really feeling that, actually.
Do you know what it's reminding me of, though? Yeah, I'm really feeling the hands, but it's reminding me of that scene in Us where they all hold hands around the earth.
Oh my God.
That's just what it freaked me out. I freaked myself out.
One way to ruin a moment. That's horrific. Everyone's got their jumpsuits on. Yeah. That's disgusting.
If you haven't seen that film, it's probably my favourite film on earth, but it's terrifying. Ugh. It gives me shivers to think about it.
That's spooky. That's a spooky thought.
But we're all holding hands around the earth.
I was thinking of the Inbetweeners film where they're sat around the fire and he's like, yeah, like, what do you want to throw? He's like, discrimination. He's like, I said that. Whatever. I'm actually a really big Inbetweeners fan all of a sudden.
That's so funny because I've been rewatching. We watched the first movie, because I couldn't remember what happened. I was like, I know the second one off by heart, but what is the first one?
In the second one, they go down the slide and there's poo in the slide.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So good. I wonder if people outside of the UK know the Inbetweeners.
They don't. There was an American version called, like, four in one or something.
Like, I remember like that getting roasted, though. I remember seeing like a scene by scene comparison of that and being like, the Americans are so dumb, they don't get what it. Like, my racism was coming out, like, the US do not have a good sense of humor. When I was like 14 or whatever, really in my own, up my own ass.
It's so funny. Well, just repeating everything you get told. Which I think we do at 14, but also you keep doing. That's why everyone's saying, oh, I wrote two books in quarantine. Because it's like, yeah, we never stop just repeating what's being sold to us. Okay, so should we have our hand-holding moment?
Everyone hold hands with the fictional person next to you.
Oh, I'm holding both hands.
Yeah, same. I've got both up here, so...
I've got on one side and on the other.
I was going to say... Named.
I just said two usernames. Look, if you think we don't know who the fuck you are listening, if you've been participating with us online, we know you. I notice when your profile picture changes.
Yeah, fully. I remember we had a comment before we started, we were saying, if you notice thingies, profile pictures change. It's like, yeah, no, we're fucking obsessed with you all. We, like, know you.
Okay, let's hold hands.
If you message in, if you're one of the people that, like, messages in a lot, we know you by name.
We know you, yeah.
We know what you're up to.
We see you when you're sleeping.
We're outside your window right
now. We know when you're pretending to fake an orgasm.
Holding hands, everyone. We have come so far this year.
So far.
We've grown in ways that we never imagined.
All of those ways, all of those things that you overcame in 2020, I see you for that. This is your moment. If you haven't been praised enough this year, I am praising you. You are mind-blowingly amazing. You're going to have to beat that little squeak. Blur that out.
No way. It's real. We're just going for authentic.
Authenticity. Just the biggest fan of you always. And Steffi, biggest fan of you too. Thanks so much for coming on this incredible journey this year.
Biggest fan of you too.
What a time we've had.
What a time this has been. This is actually quite crazy. I'm like kind of going to cry.
I'm feeling like a lot of wind in my hair all of a sudden. I feel like I'm out in a big field somewhere.
I'm feeling a lot of eyes on me.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, if you've been here, we sincerely thank you from the bottoms of our hearts, souls, egos.
Yeah. If this is the only episode of ours that you catch, we are eternally grateful and really hope that you have been enjoying yourself, not just listening to the pod, but in your life. I hope you're having a pleasant life right now. And while some things might be unpleasant, here you are getting to the other side of them. I could not be a bigger fan of you right now.
Big fan of you and all your work. Honestly, you thought your year would go in one way and it's gone completely the other way. And you've grown in ways that you would have never imagined. In your wildest dreams, you would not have thought this was possible. Your wildest dreams, a bit far actually.
You never in your wildest dreams thought that we would be talking to you right now.
Right now.
Harry, I now speak directly to you. You have 1 hour, 1 hour, 1 hour.
Genuinely, thank you guys. If we can ask one thing of you.
Don't say we don't treat you.
I've just remembered we thought we'd do something at the very end.
Now I've got you.
If I can just ask one thing of you, is that you would leave us a review on Apple, because it really does mean the world to us, the universe to us, when you leave us a review, because Apple love it. They love, love, love it.
Well, I don't really know if they do love it. They haven't seen it. I haven't heard from them. They haven't told me they like it, but I like it. I know that much. I know it makes me cry. So
I've heard that Steve Jobs has wet dreams over reviews. So let's try and do it for him.
RIP, right? Is he dead? Steve Jobs. He's dead now, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, rip.
Well, God bless capitalism. God rest his soul. Shall we leave it here?
Let's leave it here.
Oh, we'll see you next year.
We're having 1 week off and we'll be back.
Yeah, if you'll allow us 7 days of peace. Come on.
7 days.
7 days of peace.
Collect ourselves.
Collect our thoughts. Regress and recuperate.
And we'll be back again.
See you there.
See you then.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.